Our world is broken. What are we to do? Threatened with fire and flood and plague, political instability, racism, corrupt leadership, we find ourselves with broken relationships, struck down with sickness, frustrated at being unable to do what we want. This week, we want to point our fingers at America. Look what's happening over there. We're not racist here in Australia. Then the plight of our own Indigenous peoples is raised and we hang our heads in shame. As we conclude Reconciliation Week this year, has reconciliation really been achieved? I don't think so. We're eager to point our fingers at others, to criticise leaders for the decisions that they've made, to bicker with our spouse or our children, to see the faults in them. I can point fingers all I want at other people, but in the end, I'm only responsible for my own behaviour. And when I'm honest, there's plenty right here to keep me occupied. I can't even overcome my own sin. I'm not competent to heal my own brokenness. So what are we to do about our own brokenness and sin? Sometimes I fall in a heap, exasperated and exhausted by my own failing efforts to improve my life, to better myself. That's the message of Hosea, isn't it? It's been exhausting as it's pronounced judgment on the sins of Israel and rehearsed the flawed history of God's people. It's just like looking in a mirror. And so it is glorious to read the opening words of the final chapter of Hosea here. Chapter 14, return to the Lord your God. Come home to God. Return to the Lord. Look at what God wants to do for his people here in Hosea chapter 15. Outlined in verses 4 to 8 are the commitments of God to bless and restore his people when they return to him. It's a beautiful picture of a flourishing life with richness and abundance. It's not only a blessed life, but a life that blesses others too. And it all comes from the blessings and deep roots of knowing and being loved by God. What will it take to receive these blessings from God? It simply takes returning to Him, coming home to God. Repentance. This idea of turning or returning has been a key word throughout the book of Hosea, and it's really a key idea throughout the whole Bible. But it's not a popular idea. Repentance involves acknowledging I'm a sinner, turning away from sin to trust in Christ. I don't want to face up to my faults. I don't want to acknowledge my sin. I don't want to turn away from it. Most of the time, the reason I sin is because I like it. But this is the core message of the Bible. The call to repent was one half of Jesus' first sermon when he arrived on the scene. Do you remember what he said in Mark 1:15? The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. But very often, far too often, the call to repentance is left out of the Christian message. We declare, come to Jesus and be saved. Come to Jesus and be whole. Come to Jesus and be happy. But saved from what? Why should I come to him if I'm already whole or happy, or at least I think I am? Every fast food joint and weight loss program is offering me wholeness and happiness these days. Sometimes we see the gospel portrayed as simply, God loves you. But there's very little point in offering salvation and the love of God unless a person recognises that they are a sinner in need of salvation. We need to be bold and brave to call people to acknowledge their sin and repent and turn to Jesus. We need to gently help people to see their sin and understand their need for Jesus Christ. And first of all, we need to humbly face up to and confess our own sin and brokenness as we turn to Christ. As we dig into this final chapter of Hosea, we're going to ask what repentance is. Is it the same as remorse? Is it the same as regret? Is being sorry enough, or is repentance more than that? Is it an emotional feeling? Is it accompanied by dramatic changes in our behaviour or personality? What is this thing called repentance without which no one can be saved? So let's take a look at the first two verses of Hosea 14. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Notice that this returning to the Lord is not coming back pretending nothing ever happened. Sometimes when we've done wrong and gone away to let things settle down, we come back hoping that the wrong has been forgotten about. It'll all blow over. But unless the wrong was very small, so small as to be unimportant, that doesn't usually cut it. Most of the time, the hurt needs to be acknowledged. The wrong needs to be spoken if it's actually going to be healed. So Hosea says, take words with you. Write it down. Say it over in your head so you get it right. You know the rehearsed apology in front of the mirror. You work up the confidence to dial the number and make the call. Or say the words you know you need to say. Take words with you. And these are the words he encourages Israel to say. Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Notice the call upon God's graciousness. This isn't an automatic process where repentance leads to forgiveness or repentance earns forgiveness. Just because you say you're sorry doesn't mean a person has to forgive you. And here we see that our forgiveness does not arise from our repentance. Our forgiveness comes out of the graciousness of God. It's not repentance that saves us. It's God who saves us by his free act of grace. The grounds of salvation is grace, not repentance. Yet repentance is necessary to access God's grace. Unless we repent of our sins, we cannot be saved. I want you to notice that the repentance that the Israelites are called to here also has a direction. It's not just, I'm sorry. It's, I'm sorry, and this is where what I'm leaving behind, and this is where I'm going. This repentance is heading the direction of offering the fruit of our lips. It is an intention to live in praise of the Lord from here on in, by their lips and presumably also by their lives. And verse 3 reveals that part of repentance is renunciation, repudiation of a past life. It's not just, I'm sorry, but here's what I'm sorry for and I will not do it again. Look with me at verse 3. It says there, Assyria cannot save us. Assyria, the superpower to the north that the Israelites were constantly putting their trust in and turning to instead of turning to God to get them out of trouble. Then we will not mount war horses. The war horses represent a reliance on Egypt. It's a constant theme throughout the Old Testament. And as Scott pointed out last week, the Israelites weren't to turn back to where they came from, to Egypt and its famous horses. And it goes on, we will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. So God is the right one to turn to. Repentance means turning away from idols. The Israelites were literally worshipping man-made idols, but we're generally a bit more subtle and clever than that. Our idols are the things that we live for. The things that come first in our lives, the things that we worship in place of God. If you want help to identify the things that are in danger of becoming idols for you, let me suggest you look at your bank statement, or your diary, or the pictures on your walls. What do you spend all your money on? What do you spend all your time doing? Idolatry is worshipping anything in place of God, elevating that thing above him in our priorities. Worshipping created things rather than the Creator. It might be our career or our house or wealth. It might be our family or our children. It could be our own reputation. These are all good things, gifts from God that He's given us to enjoy, but we need to enjoy them and give thanks to Him. They need to take second place in our lives, and God needs to take first place. Sometimes idolatry can even take the form of religious things. Are you building a great Christian spiritual life, and that is your glory? Are your good works and your good life and reputation before others the thing you really live for? I was listening to a sermon on Hosea 14 last week, and the preacher reflected on how hard it is to make a mountain of one's good works over your lifetime and then to write the word or the letters L-O-S-S on it. Loss. Do you remember the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3? After cataloguing all his religious achievements in a really impressive resume, Paul says plainly, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." The only thing we can rely on to save us is the grace of God. Have you taken up words and returned to God? This is why confession of sins is such an important practice, and not just the general confession that we often make here at church, but taking time to reflect on and confess privately to God the individual sins you need to name and to bring before Him to turn away from. There is a repentance that doesn't lead to life. You'll remember that we read very similar words to these in the beginning of Hosea chapter 6. The Israelites spoke there about returning to God, but their hearts weren't in it. They were kind of sorry, not sorry. We read in 2 Corinthians that not all sorrow for sin leads to life. It says in chapter 7 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." And here in Hosea 14, we see some of the features of godly sorrow, which brings repentance, leads to salvation, and leaves no regret. Repentance involves bringing words to God, words of confession of sin, words of turning from that sin to trust in God. Repentance has a direction to it, and a change of direction back to trusting in God. And repentance leads us to throw ourselves into the gracious arms of God, that He might save us by His grace. Repentance is not a good work that saves us, but a turning to God that He might save us. You know the trouble with repentance? We can't do it. Tell me to turn away from doing something that I love? Are you crazy? The only way to motivate us to repent is by the power of God's grace to help us see all that Christ is to us. It will be through love for Christ, not fear of judgment, that we will truly be able to turn away from sin to trust in Him. To turn away from sin because of a threat of judgment, well, that will just create a void in our lives and will very quickly turn back to that sin again if we don't replace it with our love for God and all that He is for us. Look at the fullness of blessing that God longs to bring on His people in verses 4 to 8. When a sinner comes to Christ in repentance, they become a new creation. This is the doctrine of regeneration, that through the work of Christ we are made new, we are born again with the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's such richness of language in these verses. Now that God's anger has been turned away from them, He's able to bless them. And He doesn't do it by showering on them external gifts like a good harvest or a new car. He does it by blessing them from the roots of their lives. That's what the picture of the tree conveys to us, isn't it? God sustains, He blesses His people so that they send down deep roots into Him, and their very lives are strong and secure. And with deep roots of security and comfort in being loved and blessed by God, then the young shoots will grow and our lives will start to flourish in all sorts of ways. And then, depending on and living for God, our lives will in turn be a blessing to others, will be a place of shade and security for them. This is the picture of the fruitfulness of God's people who send down deep roots into the love of God, who are comforted by His comfort, secure in His security, made joyful by His joy. In verse 8, God makes a mockery of idolatry. After painting the beautiful picture of God's people who have turned to Him and are now flourishing, He says, well, how does that compare to the idols then? Worshipping idols was about trying to get what you wanted. I want a good harvest this year. I'll worship the God of a good harvest. I want to win a war. I'll bow down to the God of war. And our idolatry is similar. We live for our career and work long hours so we can be rich. We mortgage ourselves to the hilt because we think a big house is going to bring us the good life. We do everything we can to have the perfect family and white picket fence because we think that's what's going to fulfill us. But God wants so much more for us than just these trimmings of a good life. He wants to transform us into His people with deep roots and rich lives that trust in Him. And following on from that will come a fruitfulness that sees all these other blessings of life that flow from it. Do you see, pursuing idols is like selfishly pursuing the good life for ourselves as if that is going to bring us happiness. But turning away from that to instead pursue God will in fact bring us all the blessings and contentment that we were originally seeking, but not always in the way that we might think we need it. God says to His people in the second half of verse 8, I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. So let me encourage you to heed the words of Hosea 14. Return to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. If you're wise, if you're discerning, then you'll understand that although it isn't easy to face up to our sins, to repent and turn away from them to trust in Christ, this is the way to truly live. Let me conclude by reading verse 9, the final verse of Hosea. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Let's pray. Lord, we turn to you. We are humbled when faced with our own sins and inadequacies, with our own foolishness in living for idols instead of the true and living God. So, Lord, we are sorry. We are sorry for living for ourselves. We are sorry for ignoring and rejecting you. And we plead your forgiveness that we might offer a life that praises you from here on in. That we might send down deep roots into you and thrive and flourish as your people that might in turn bring a blessing to others. Lord, help us to come to terms with and to exercise true repentance and faith in you, that we might find the salvation of Jesus Christ and know the security and hope and joy and comfort of forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.